Greetings from 3EDGE Asset Management in Boston, and welcome to our monthly View from the Edge podcast for September 2019. My name is Fritz Foltz, and I'm the Chief Investment Strategist here at 3EDGE, and I'm pleased to be joined here today, once again, by our Managing Director of Investment Research, Eric Biegeleisen. As we do each month, Eric and I will discuss our firm's most recent outlook for the global capital markets, which is based upon our proprietary research model. And in particular, we will point out any significant changes to our outlook, which may have occurred over the course of the past month. So let's get started and let's talk about the markets. August turned out to be a month which certainly would not fall under the heading of summer doldrums. There was a great deal of market activity throughout the month. It was a difficult month for global equities, including the S&P 500 index, which declined by over 2.75% in August. Also in August, the bond market saw interest rates plummet. U.S. Treasury yields declined for the 10-year U.S. Treasury to 1.5%, and for the 30-year U.S. Treasury below 2%. And in fact, at one point in August, the 30-year U.S. Treasury yield hit an all-time low of 1.91%. So it seems like the declining yields in the U.S. Treasury market seem to indicate that bond market investors are expecting additional rate cuts by the Fed through the remainder of 2019 and even into 2020. And although investors certainly were nervous during the month of August, with the market seemingly up one day and down the next, in general, economic data continued to show that U.S. unemployment rate remains low, consumer spending remains relatively robust, and wages in general are rising. However, things do not look as bright in the manufacturing sector. In the first days of September, the Institute of Supply Management's Purchasing Managers Index report, also referred to as PMI, declined to below 50%. For the first time in 3 years, pointing to a potential slowdown in manufacturing. And the ISM report is actually interesting in terms of the trade war because it's a key economic supply chain indicator. And the question for both manufacturers and investors then is just how much of an economic headwind will the ongoing trade tensions between the US and China exact on global economic growth going forward. And in the world of U.S. versus China trade tension, additional U.S. tariffs hit Chinese goods on September 1st, with more tariffs scheduled from the Trump administration in October and then again in December. However, early this month, an announcement that the U.S. and China trade negotiators had agreed to meet in October generated a relief rally in equities. So with an eventful August in the books, let's take a look at our current outlook. And for that, I'll turn things over to Eric Biegeleisen, Managing Director and Head of Investment Research here at 3EDGE. And Eric will walk us through our current outlook, and he'll touch on, in particular, the changes that may have occurred over the course of the month. So, Eric, let's begin taking a look at our current outlook, and let's start with equities.
That sounds good, Fritz. As we've discussed for several months now, our research finds U.S. equities significantly overvalued, on the order of levels seen during the dot-com bubble in the 2000s, and then prior to that, right before the Great Depression in 1929. You also continue to see flattening and inversion on the U.S. Treasury yield curve at different spots, suggesting limited future growth prospects. And on top of that, the ongoing trade saga, and in particular the sharp devaluation in the Chinese yuan, had a material impact on all of our equity asset class projections, not just the U.S., which sent all equity projections downward. With regard to emerging market equities, we had a notable reversal from being somewhat positive to now being somewhat negative on the space. Beyond the yuan depreciation I just mentioned, more broadly, we've seen many EM currencies depreciating versus the US dollar. This is a negative for the asset class as it makes EM dollar-based debt more difficult to service, as repayment in a strengthening currency is more expensive for those countries. Another negative point is the flattening and inversion of the U.S. yield curve, which also impacts EM countries negatively, as it too is indicative of slower economic growth, as emerging market exports to the U.S. may be negatively impacted. And we can't talk about EM and not mention the damaging effects that the China-US trade negotiations are having on investor psychology. There is the potential for upside in EM and US should the trade talks progress more positively, and or potentially if the US Fed continues to cut rates here in the US, but that's not the base case for now.
What's the market looking for in terms of rate cuts now at this point?
It seems like if you were to look at the Fed futures market, it's forecasting at least two hikes and maybe a third by year end.
Okay, so that's pretty aggressive.
Which seems a bit counter to potentially what Chair Powell indicated at the last one,
right,
in July.
Right. Good.
With regard to developed Asia and European equities, not too much progress there. We find Asia even less attractive due to the continued inversion of our yield curve measure in Japan. And Europe remains negative with its yield curve measure also inverted, suggesting limited growth opportunity.
Very good. So let's switch gears and look at fixed income. And August was definitely an interesting month with yields declining. So how's our outlook there?
Yeah, very significant decline from 2% down to 1.5% on a 10-year. A 50 basis point move is fairly significant in such a short period of time. Our U.S. Treasury bond outlook is firmly positive, actually, as concerns over slowing global growth have led many of the world's major central banks to cut interest rates or provide some level of stimulus or easing measures to prop up their economies. And while our own central bank is involved in this easing too, with one quarter of the world's government debt having negative yields, U.S. Treasury bonds at around 1.5% even remains relatively attractive.
Yeah, it's crazy, really nuts. So we'll see how that plays out. And how about our outlook for credit, Eric? Is that still fairly negative?
That's right. Yeah, our outlook for credit remains negative as spread volatility remains slightly elevated and investor fear increases. Corporate bond issuance continues to climb too as companies look to take advantage of the recent drop in yields, much of which may be used for share buybacks to juice earnings per share, providing a potential additional boost to equity market returns short term, but with long term consequences if this debt cannot be repaid due to a slowdown.
Right. All right, let's shift gears and look at real assets and gold, which has been an attractive asset class and has done quite well. Has our outlook changed on gold?
Our outlook remains firmly positive as low and declining real yields, that is the yield, the nominal yields, less inflation, continue to make this asset class attractive. Gold may also act as a hedge during uncertainty surrounding the trade tensions and the upcoming Brexit deadline. And should a larger, more protracted global competitive currency devaluation take root, then this too may benefit the value of gold.
Very good. Commodities, we've been negative or certainly not positive for a while. I think it looks like that continues.
That's right. Yeah, the concerns over the global slowdown just continue to permeate through many of the factors in the commodity model, keeping it somewhat negative.
And lastly, cash and equivalents, which if you have $17 trillion in negative yielding debt, I guess U.S. cash doesn't look so bad.
That's right. Cash and equivalents are attractive, providing a similar yield to longer duration U.S. Treasury bonds, but with significantly less interest rate risk, as well as providing dry powder to reinvest into risk assets at a more opportune time.
Very good. So that covers the major asset classes and the geographies that we analyze and invest in. As a reminder, you know, the reason that we go over all of these asset classes and all of these geographies is the fact that that makes up our investment universe. So we consider investments across many different asset classes, many different geographies. So before we wrap it up, though, Eric, I'll throw it back to you, because it does seem that there are definitely changes in our outlook from the prior month. And if you had to sort of summarize maybe what has happened between the beginning of August and the first few days of September here, maybe just give us a little summary of that, perhaps?
It's feeling like the markets are fragile. And our research, in summary, is indicating relative value in bonds, gold, and cash.
Right.
This type of caution may be unwarranted if this equity bull rages on.
Mm-hmm.
But if U.S. markets simply retest the prior highs that it's hit now, this will be the fourth time, and then collapse, our clients will be well situated for a downturn, armed with dry powder for reinvestment.
Right. And I think, you know, one thing that I thought of throughout the month of August, where you had the market up one day and down the next, is in that type of environment, that's when you really want to stick to your process and stick to your model. So thank you very much for that update. And that will do it for us here at Three Edge Asset Management for the September podcast. Eric and I will be back in October. Believe it or not, we're heading into October soon, and we will do this all over again. The View from the Edge podcast is available on iTunes, and you can also follow us on LinkedIn and on Twitter. So thank you for listening. Commentary and analysis is intended for information purposes only. The commentary does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy securities. The opinions expressed in View from the Edge are those of Mr. Foltz and Mr. Beagleisen and are subject to change without notice in reaction to shifting market conditions. It is not intended to provide personal investment advice and does not take into account the unique investment objectives and financial situation of the listener. Investors should only seek investment advice from their individual financial advisor. These observations include information from sources that 3Edge believes to be reliable, but the accuracy of such information cannot be guaranteed. Investments, including common stocks, fixed income, commodities, and ETFs, involve the risk of loss that investors should be prepared to bear.